So, good morning, everyone. Really nice to see everyone and be here with you today. Here we are in the second month, February, in the year of the tiger. But for us, it's going to be the year of the ox. We spent the month of January preparing to start our journey through the ox herding pictures. We've had a glimpse of the full cycle of 10 pictures with the video that Tweri shared 2 weeks ago. We also had a chance last week to reflect on our own journey so far, as the Buddha calls it, our own noble search. Doubtless many of you have found different versions of the pictures online. Today we're going to focus on the searching or seeking picture, sometimes called picture one. In the version we will be using this year, the title is Searching for the Bull. So we're going to focus on the beginning of our seeking, the beginning of the seeking phase of our journey. And on this first Sunday of the month, we're going to spend time looking and listening, taking in and receiving the spirit of the words and pictures, noticing what responses the words and pictures evoke in each of us. Some commentaries say that the pictures represent stages of practice leading to enlightenment. Others describe them as levels of realization in Zen. Another describes them as providing a map of steps on the path to enlightenment. Those terms, stages, levels, and steps, might suggest a hierarchy and trigger the comparing, judging mind in us. If that's so, just notice it. Another term we could use is phases, like the phases in the cycles of the seasons and the phases of the moon. Each phase necessary and connected to the whole. Maybe phases that repeat in different layers or in a spiral, which is the way a number of teachers have interpreted the shape of the path as being a spiral that has a repetition, but of different, alike, similar, but different. Whatever we call these different points on the path, it's definitely a path of transformations. In Tim's talk on Monday night, he suggested another way to frame the pictures, and that is by grouping them into four sections. The first being the search, the second being the struggle for mastery, the third, letting go, and the fourth, integration. These groupings suggest some of the transformations that might occur on the path. Tim reminded us again that we can approach the pictures in terms of the whole journey, or in terms of different aspects of the journey in any moment. It might be helpful to be aware of how we're framing the path as we explore its meaning in the next weeks and months. But let's get started and take a look at the picture and verse titled Searching for the Bull. We'll take time to reflect silently on these. And if you were here last Sunday, you might recall some of the things that came up for you when you thought about the beginning of your own search. So let me do the screen share, and hopefully this will work. Let's see. Yeah, I don't, let's see, share. Okay, I've got it. Now, do you see the screen? Do you see the picture and the verse? Great. Okay. So, I have to look at my notes here. Let's see. So, we want to be in a receptive mode now. Receptive to our intuitive mind and to what stirs our heart. So I'm going to offer the first four instructions used in Insight Dialogue, which I found really helpful in stimulating mindfulness and my intuitive mind. Let's take a moment to arrive again in the present, right here. Maybe close your eyes just for a minute. And then realize that you're going to pause. We're going to pause all our thought processes for a moment. We're going to relax. We're getting ready to receive. So we're going to open. And then we're going to trust emergence. So now you open your eyes and let's look at the picture first. Be aware of presuming that you already know what the picture is saying and what the words mean. Wait for the image and words to find their place within you. Now I'm going to read the verse twice and suggest a response prompt each time. Searching for the bull. In the pasture of the world, I endlessly push aside the tall grasses in search of the bull. Following unnamed rivers, lost upon the interpenetrating paths of distant mountains, my strength failing and my vitality exhausted, I cannot find the bull. I only hear the locusts chirping through the forest at night. What word, phrase, detail, or image strikes you, intrigues you? You don't need to elaborate or analyze why it strikes you. What word, phrase, detail, or image strikes you, intrigues you? Now I'll read the verse second time. And I'll be asking you to complete the sentence. This picture or these words invite me to. And here's the verse. In the pasture of the world, I endlessly push aside the tall grasses in search of the bull. Following unnamed rivers, lost upon the interpenetrating paths of distant mountains, my strength failing and my vitality exhausted, I cannot find the bull. I only hear the locusts chirping through the forest at night. So this picture or these words invite me to feel. You can name an emotion or a physical sensation or a thought. Invite me to think. This picture, these words invite me to. So I'm going to stop the screen share now for this time. You've had a chance to have your own unique connection to this representation of the noble search, and you've had a chance to move into, and you will have a chance to move into breakout rooms in a few minutes to share more of your insights and associations and understandings. But first, let's look at the question. How can this picture and these words help you in your practice and in your daily life? One of the Sangha members Monday night asked that question, and I think it's a valid one. I'm going to share a bit of my experience with this picture and how it connects to my practice and my life. And as the months proceed, we will be going deeper into ways to understand the pictures and to connect with them in our practice. I decided to see what came up for me when I asked myself the question, how does this picture connect to my practice? And this memory came up. And I did want to censor it. I did think, I don't think this isn't any good. But because I believe that one of the things we're learning is to trust our inner insights and our inner clues, I decided to go with it anyway. I was a teacher for 36 years. I wanted to be a teacher since I was 7, and I started off on my career with great enthusiasm and great expectations. But I kept running into this problem. Ajahn Sucitto calls it the inner tyrant or the responsibility demon. It is an inner voice of judgment and comparison for which no amount of work or achievement is enough. And it leads to feelings of self-doubt, being lost, confused, and overwhelmed, not to mention physical and mental exhaustion. In my work life, excuse me, I was plagued by it. And I thought when I retired, I would be done. But guess what? It followed me into retirement. Imagine that. I'm still working with it, but I am learning. And I want to say, I'm going to go back to my story, because that's what sheds light, and understanding that story and connecting with it helped me, you know, today. And I want to say, I want to put in a plug for memories, especially memories from childhood. And I want to remind people that, I don't know if you knew this, but probably a lot of you know this, that the Buddha discovered the middle way. He was inspired to, with insight, that there was a middle way by a memory from his childhood of an experience in solitude that he had under the rose apple tree. So this, I think, is a way that our true self really speaks to us. So not to ignore those memories that pop out up and you think, well, why did I think of that? This is also a plug for coming to Buddhist Essentials class in February, because we're going to be doing the story of the Buddha's life, and I'm going to be telling that story in more detail. It's a really good story. So anyway, back to my story. So let's see, where am I? So anyway, when I was working and I had this inner tyrant that said nothing was good enough, every once in a while I would get to a place where everything felt good. It felt like, wow, I was doing a good job. I was kind of feeling some ease and well-being. And then the voice of the inner tyrant would say, this is getting too easy. You need a challenge. So an example of what happened one of these times that I heard that voice, I moved from a very insulated, kind of wealthy school district to one that was pretty much the opposite. Lots of diversity, lots of free and reduced lunches, lots of second language learners. And these kids needed a lot of help. There was a lot of pressure put on the teachers to raise their test scores because, I mean, one of the reasons being second language learners, that the tests were challenging. You can imagine, taking a test in German, and it's not your native language. So anyway, there was a lot of pressure put on us to raise these test scores. And let's see. To raise the test scores, time on task was the measure of success. One year we were asked to wear stopwatches around our necks and time every activity. There was no room for creativity, play, or the joy of learning. And I was pretty unhappy. I felt very disconnected from the students and from what was truly needed to help my students learn. I felt like a bad teacher. I remember one day when I was at recess, on recess duty, one of my students took that opportunity to come up to me and start talking about something that was going on for her and her family. And I could tell that this really mattered to her. She really needed someone to hear her. And I was really glad to take that time to just be there and listen. I may not be able to raise her test scores, I thought, but I can hear her. And that gave me a really good sense of well-being. Now I lost my place. Oh, yeah. That's worth something, I said to myself. Now, usually the inner tyrant would say, no, that's not worth anything. You need to get that kid on task. But for some reason, a still small voice inside of me on that day stood up to the inner tyrant. Sometime after that, I started a new routine in the classroom. And at the start of every day, the class and I would sing together a little song in French. Bonjour, mes amis, comment ça va? Hello, my friends, how are you? The students would raise their hands and share. And this wasn't sharing like I remember from my school days when students would share a new toy or a trip to Disneyland. This was real sharing about what was going on in their lives, and it included some pretty dramatic and traumatic situations. There was no crosstalk, no drama in the classroom. It was just telling it like it is, and we would just move on to the next person. If I ever forgot the routine, always someone would raise their hand. Mrs. Wilson, we didn't do our savas this morning. And we would stop and do the savas. So that's the memory that came up to me. And why did that come up when I was looking at this first picture? Well, it was I know the endless pushing aside of the tall grasses. I know what that feels like. And how endless the search feels when I struggled over and over to deal with that inner critical voice and find a sense of well-being and just keep having self-doubts. And I just couldn't create the conditions which would bring me a sense of natural ease and well-being. But it was the sound of the locust chirping and the amazing appearance of the still small voice that I remembered that can help show me the way. So while we're on the topic of voices, I thought of that two wolves story, which probably is familiar to a lot of you, but I'll just read it. It's very short. A Cherokee elder was teaching his young grandson about life. A fight is going on inside me, he said to the boy. It's a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil, he is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, and superiority. Lies, false pride, self-doubt, and ego. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, faith. This same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too. The boy thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? And the elder simply replied, the one you feed. And to conclude, I'm going to share one more story about the voice that we hear inside of us. Actually, two voices we hear inside of us. And this comes from Ajahn Suchito, who is a teacher in our forest lineage, who many of you may be familiar with. He's spoken here at Sims in the past. And he said, let's see. He describes the frustrations of being lost and how we can turn inward using our mindfulness to move forward in the right direction. Even in the very beginning of the search, there is always a way available to us. We're lost and buffeted about by the worldly winds. We worry and plan, trying to hold our life together. In these situations, we need to return to our home base where the heart is naturally able to express itself. And he described his own experience regarding this. He was an abbot of a monastery, and he had some very worldly duties. And one of them was to attend to budget meetings, which he said would go on and on for hours sometimes. He said, quote, I can't understand what they're talking about. But he said, I had to work with the responsibility demon who tells me this is important. He said, at that point, I can go to, and these are quotes, you stupid brainless idiot who can't understand things. And that perpetuates the feeling of overwhelm, of being lost and confused. Or he said, I can check in with my heart and ask, what does my heart need right now? Relax. Breathe out. Soften. Widen. If you can't analyze the budget, what can you do? And he answers, I can make tea. I can smile. I can encourage. I feel good doing these because it's my truth. And that's what he shared. And that gave me hope. So the ox herd has lost his ox and he's lost his way. And despite all his efforts, he can't find the way and he can't find the ox. What can he do? What will guide him on his search? So that's what we're going to talk about in the breakout rooms. But before I send you off, I'm going to read a poem because that's another right-brained activity that could stimulate more connection to this picture. It's something that came up for me. It's The Layers by Stanley Kunitz. I have walked through many lives, some of them my own, and I am not who I was. Though some principle of being abides, from which I struggle not to stray. When I look behind, as I am compelled to look before I can gather strength to proceed on my journey, I see the milestones dwindling toward the horizon and the slow fires trailing from the abandoned campsites. over which scavenger angels wheel on heavy wings. Oh, I have made myself a tribe out of my true affections, and my tribe is scattered. How shall the heart be reconciled to its feast of losses? In a rising wind, the manic dust of my friends, those who fell along the way, bitterly stings my face. Yet I turn, exulting somewhat, with my will intact to go wherever I need to go, and everyone and every stone on the road precious to me. In my darkest night, when the moon was covered and I roamed through wreckage, a nimbus-clouded voice directed me, live in the layers, not on the litter. Though I lack the art to decipher it, no doubt the next chapter in my book of transformations is already written. I am not done with my changes. And I want to recall the poem that Suze shared about the questions. Love the questions and live the questions to the answers. I know I had a question, and Stanley Kunis has a question about the meaning of that nimbus message. And I think that that's kind of like the ants. You don't know. Some of these things don't come easily. They're just suggested, but they can take us forward. So I am not done with my changes. That is the last thing to maybe linger. So this is a time for breakout rooms. And if you would like to leave now before I put people in breakout rooms, you can say goodbye on the chat or just wave. And hopefully we'll see you next week. And as soon as people leave, I will put you into breakout rooms. Okay, so I'm curious what you guys focused on, what intrigued you and came up for you. Who would like to share? You can just unmute yourself.
Lauren, I wanted to thank you for your talk and your similes, and because it really made this whole process seem a lot more like an adventure, you know, and getting over those thoughts of when we studied it before. And it was completely obtuse, and, you know, I didn't get it at all. Didn't have good memories. But you really opened it up to an adventure that I could take. And so thank you for your very personal and enlightening thoughts.
Did you want to share something, Rosalie, that Rosie, I don't know why I'm calling you Rosalie. Did you want to share something that you popped up for you? Doesn't have to be elaborate.
Well, just that what I'm going to search for and hopefully find is that, you know, the topic is aging for me.
Yeah.
And it begins, the first childhood memory that came up was Hansel and Gretel. That one didn't turn out so good. So I have to take a different, I have to remember that not to take that path.
Yeah. Thank you.
But it is unknown.
Yes. Yeah. The questions. Live the questions. I like that. Charlotte.
Thank you. I don't know if you remember that when Toira gave her talk, I made the comment that I had taken the Theravadin seat.
Yes.
And I started thinking about that and realized that Jack was talking about the Buddhist seat, the Eightfold Path, the all that, the teachings that so many Buddhist groups have in common. And that really released me to embrace this teachings. And completely off topic, I went to the ballet yesterday, Lyndall and I, and it was a transforming experience. It was just the music, the dance, the stage sets. I want to go again. It was so good. And just the images, you know, that, so maybe I can translate some of that joy of images from the dance to the Oxfording.
And oh, I love that.
Yeah. One person in our group shared that, that she noticed that the Oxherder had his feet going one way and his head the other. I thought, oh, that's a great insight. I told her I was going to try to be more mindful of those things too. So anyway, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I did remember that, you saying that. So I'm really happy that you could embrace the Oxherding pictures too. That's cool. Leah?
Hi, everybody. This is Leah. Nice to see you. And thank you so much for teaching. So what came up for me was just looking at the words in the pictures. I'll just read some of the words first and then talk a little bit about that. These words, these pictures invite me to let go, to listen, to wait, to be patient, to connect with the heart, to stop. And then what stuck out to me in the words was the word exhausting. And then I think there was a word like interpenetrating or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this really struck deep. Like the idea of seeking for me is about, if I go deep into that, why am I seeking? Then there's the longing. What is the longing for? And longing is for the whole world to meet my needs all the time. So it's really about turning the longing inwards and taking care of it there, which is what we do here. And then in our group, we talked a lot about fear, and fear is actually doubt. So the doubt is fear. And then becoming exhausted from that doubting and fearing and doubting and fearing. And that comes from the rising of mental formations. And that's where the interpenetrating paths are. You know, that's where the complexity is all of these mental formations. So it's just a really interesting, I think it's going to be an interesting year of really constantly returning to why are we seeking and what is that longing, and then coming back to all of the teachings and realizing that what we're longing for is this really simple thing, which is releasing the mental formations or rising above them. We can't get rid of them. And then for me, I find that I get lost in the mental formations and lost in the longing and confused in the process of something very difficult and make wrong choices based on my doubt and fear. So really, for me, the last layer is constantly forgiving myself and realizing that I am practicing whether it's perfect or not, you know, always starting again. And I've had a really tough week that's turned my life upside down, and I can see where I allowed fear and doubt and the lack of faith and trust in my path to control, to steer, and I wasn't steering, and so it just made it more difficult. I hope that wasn't too much and too confusing, but that's where I'm at, and I really appreciate this and all of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. There is so much, but, you know, we don't have to figure out everything, but it's just nice to let it kind of flow over us. And who knows when or what is going to bubble up. Thank you so much for sharing that. Sean and Bruce, or Sean or Bruce?
Or Bruce.
Okay. Hi, Bruce.
What I noticed from the picture with this guy searching for the path was on a really large defined path. I mean, big one. So I thought that was very interesting. And it reminded, when I look back, like kind of pretending I'm looking back at my past, back to the beginning, it's always there. And it's almost as if my experience is in life is that the path actually is leading me. There were various times when it was time to shift from one practice to another. And it was almost like a surprise. Oh my God, I'm leaving this. And, you know, it was like I was being moved. So maybe I could focus on that. And one more thing. Are we going to be working with this particular picture this month?
Yes. The whole month.
We can't understand where to get the link to it.
Oh, okay.
I can talk to that really briefly.
Okay, Cheryl, yes, please.
Carrie and I are working on the webpage, and chances are we'll have it finished by today. So it will be on the website. I don't really want to give you the link right now because it's live. But
what if we never find it?
You'll find it. You'll find it.
You're lost. You're going through the grasses.
Yeah, so definitely stay tuned. It's going to be there soon. And then all the pictures will be there. But it has to be right before we.
Thank you, Cheryl, so much. That'll be wonderful to have them. And thank you, everybody who shared and for being here today.